paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
Live on the stream at WGNRadio.com. Hi, it's John Williams. How are you? It's 107 now, and we might be on the radio in a little bit too, huh? Remember, on social media, I'm WGN King John. You can catch us on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook there on the top of our Facebook page at WGNRadio.com. Pardon me, on the top of our Facebook page where I'm WGN King John, you'll see the little blurb for our Jefferson show. I got a notice today. We're past the halfway point on seats sold. We're happy about that. But frankly, a little disappointed that more of you haven't signed up for what will be a really fun program.
It's a bigger theater, right, than normal?
Yeah, we're doing it at the United Center this year, and maybe that was ambitious. Maybe we should have said 22,000 is high.
Was Poplar Creek booked?
You know, we have done these Jefferson shows where I walk on stage and have a conversation with TJ. We also do it sometimes with Teddy Roosevelt at the auditorium at Northwestern's campus. That's about 1,100 people. We have done it at the Shakespeare Theater on Navy Pier, which is really cool, in the round, three decks high. The first time we did it was in a parking lot at a tent at a restaurant. That escapes me all of a sudden. I should remember that because it's near and dear to my heart. We did it at Joliet. No, we didn't do it at Joliet Junior College. We did the College of DuPage. We've done it at Elmhurst. I'm trying to think of the other locations where we have sort of toured Jefferson around the area. But now we're going to be in Downers Grove at the Tivoli Theater. And tickets are available and all the information you need at WGNRadio.com/Jefferson. And when you go to my Facebook page, you'll see the link there as well. But there's also a little video that shows what this thing is for a couple of minutes. And if I could drag everybody in America to this conversation, I would. Not only would they enjoy it, but the reason I would be just to sort of immerse yourself for an hour or two in what would one of our founding fathers say if they could sit and talk to you right now. If it was Jefferson or Adams or Washington or Hamilton or Benjamin Franklin, though he was not elected to any of the offices we think about, but if we could get one of those guys in and say, okay, America, we had this vision and it's still working. However, wouldn't that be an interesting opportunity? And I'm telling you, one of the first things we discovered when we started doing these shows was how quickly that works. That when this guy comes out, how you very quickly forget that Thomas Jefferson didn't reincarnate for this. Essentially, he did. But there's a certain reverence to it. And people address him as Mr. Jefferson. And they really do take seriously their opportunity to the degree that sometimes they're very angry at him. I don't know if I told you this, Steve, but one time a woman stood in the, I can just see her in the upper left, I think it must have been at the College of DuPage, and she said, I just finished this book written. It's a novel, and it was from the perspective of Sally Hemings. And she started to berate Thomas Jefferson for his treatment of the woman who he probably fathered several children with and yet was his slave. And she gave him some grief. And there was sort of a hush in the crowd. And then he said, Madam, how dare you? I never spoke or wrote a word about this in my life. Nothing in print exists that indicates to you what our relationship was like. And for you to assume that and berate me here, shame on you. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, but it's true, isn't it?
So that was awkward. But I also feel it was important. He and I stood on stage one time at Lyons Township High School in LaGrange for an assembly of juniors and seniors. And he said, you know, really, ladies, your place is in the kitchen. Better that you tend to your husbands than you actually think that you should hold political office. And they were outraged. You should have seen their faces. I mean, I guess the point of all of this is that you very quickly feel like you're talking to the man who's saying sometimes offensive things to you, but they are the true words and thoughts and feelings of our founding fathers, and they're not always pretty. I'm not a gun guy. Jefferson is. I'm all hashtag me too. Jefferson, not so much, to say nothing of the race issues. It's amazing how we put our founding fathers on this plateau, and we revere them and what they represent, and for many reasons we should. But at the same time, they would not play today. Some of them would not be so good. And then other parts of it are just fantastically relevant, right? Like, should we have an electoral college? Are we electing a president the right way? Should we do it a popular vote or not? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the kind of conversation we have on stage. And that's why I said I would like to drag everybody to it. Not for me, although I think that would be swell, but because I really do think people would benefit. I know they do. They always come away going, holy cow, I had no idea. My cousin said I gotta come, so we came. But this was turns out to be, we liked it. Hey, Mikey. WGNradio.com/Jefferson. You'll see a brief 2 minutes video of one of our shows, and it gives you an opportunity to sign up. So I don't know who makes the decisions about how baseball games get played, but wouldn't it have seemed like a better idea for the Cubs to play their game yesterday instead of wait until today, where the wind chill factor is 9 below 0? Brendan and I were talking about this yesterday. We walked around Wrigley Field. It was lovely. Yesterday was a really nice day. The Pirates are in town yesterday, today, tomorrow, and the next day. I know why they build that one cushion day in on a homestand. At least I think I do. But so in other words, if it rained yesterday, they would have today to play, or vice versa, right? If it rained 2 days ago, they would have had yesterday to play. They build in that buffer day. But shouldn't they think forward and go, wow, since it's going to be crappy on Wednesday, let's move the Wednesday game up to Tuesday. And, you know, you'd have to get word out. Tell everybody, hey, everybody, it's going to be 65 and sunny at Wrigley Field on Tuesday. Wednesday, it's going to be 39 degrees, rainy and windy. So we're going to take the Wednesday game and move it up to Tuesday. Couldn't they do that? Sure, they could. They could do anything they want.
I think the answer is the guys who make the decisions all have skybox seats.
Yeah. A little bit of that. I think that my prejudice is that if women ran the world, I don't know, I have this sort of broad brush thinking that women are...
Please don't do this.
...are less either locked in or less stubborn. They would see the sense of it. You know, guys like, no, we'll play. We're playing. Or here's how we do it. And women are like, honey, that doesn't make any sense. Let's just play the game when it's sunny and 65 on Tuesday. And not, you do have this thing on your phone. It's a weather app. You see those clouds? That's the day the Pirates are in town. What did they do yesterday? They go to a movie? I'll bet the Pirates would have liked to have played yesterday. I'll bet the Cubs would have liked to have played yesterday, especially after opening day.
Well, what if you were driving from Iowa or from downstate or somewhere to go to the game? You'd have to get off work a different day. I mean, look, it's baseball in April. Buck up. If they can play, they're going to play. Right? I mean, you can't... I don't know. I don't get that. I don't like your plan.
Well, what do you think is best for the fans?
I'm sorry to be a man about the whole thing.
Well, what do you think would be best for the fan experience? So you got the 25 players that are going to be in the game one way or another. 9 times 2, 18, plus a couple pitchers. And then you've got 40,000 people that are going to sit there. Now, if you were a company, what do you think would be the best way to manage your business in this regard?
I wonder what it's a good question. I wonder what their sales would be if they were to make everyone change their plans less than 24 hours before the game and try to make it. They certainly would have fewer people in the seats, right? So their concessions would suffer.
You're talking about if they played yesterday.
Right. If they said, when would they have said it? On Monday afternoon?
Yeah. Okay. I think so.
Okay.
As soon as they could have.
So not everyone's going to be able to make it. So you're going to have fewer seats in the stands. So you're going to, your concessions will be less. A lot of what your money comes from are broadcast rights. You'd have to talk to whomever was going to broadcast the game. They'd have to change things up there. I mean, I think it sounds nice, but I think there's a lot of trouble to it too.
No. I think those are all men. Women would manage this problem.
Please,
you get a soccer mom.
Men are stupid and women are smart.
I think that,
that's what you're saying.
No, I'm not. But I'm saying, well, put it this way. Whoever's been running baseball for the last 100 years, this is very consistent with baseball thinking, with corporate thinking, with, well, here's how we've always done it. Or with this whole macho thing of, well, like you said, we'll still play in the rain, buck up. I'm like, you can, but why not play when it's nice?
It's not a macho thing. I just made a pretty good case, I think, economically, for why they don't change the game 24 hours in advance.
If, in fact, what you said is true. I mean, how many people are going to...
Which part wouldn't be true?
The part about not many people showing up on a 70-degree sunshiny day.
I didn't say that. I said fewer. There certainly would be fewer. There's no way that everyone who has tickets for tonight would be able to change their plans and be there yesterday.
They would have sold more beer yesterday. How busy do you think the concession stand is going to be?
That's a good question. My theory is there are fewer people, so they'd buy less, but you're saying the weather's nicer, so they'd buy more beer? I don't know.
Right. Maybe it's a wash, right? So on Tuesday, where it's sunny and 65, you got fewer people, but I'll bet you'd sell more concessions than on a Wednesday night when it's rainy, windy, and cold. It might even snow, and that's what they've been waiting for. I don't know. Even if you are at the game, you're probably not going to buy a third beer. And
depends on the score.
We know you're going to have two. Yeah. And maybe, I'll bet there'll be some no-shows, too,
tonight,
the game,
yeah.
This evening.
Probably true.
So, I don't have an answer for that. I can't fix it. But I will share the frustration of people who were looking at yesterday, going, boy, they could have played today.
It's just you live there, and you could have picked up a ticket easy for the game yesterday.
That's what this is about, actually. I mean, I'm always describing my walks around Wrigley Field, and... boy, I could pick up a good seat yesterday. In fact, Brenda and I did something that we don't that often do, and that's day drink. Because when I did Cochran's show the other day, let's see, what's today's date? Do we know? Is today Tuesday or Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday. I did Cochran's show on Monday. So Monday, Tuesday was the off day, it was a nice day. But on Monday was a nice day, too. I mean, that was, Cubs sure got lucky there, didn't they? So I got home around noon or 1 after the show, and then we just kind of walked around and were part of the ambiance of Wrigley Field. By the way, I'm looking at my producer, Elif. Before I finish this story, Elif, what are we doing at 1:20? Am I continuing here, or are we pausing to join the radio side in progress?
You're continuing, and then when I get a cue, I'll give you like a minute, 30 seconds, 10 seconds.
And then we'll say, welcome, WGN radio listeners.
Yes.
So the White Sox broadcast is still on, but the game is not on.
Correct.
And they're going to be joining us shortly.
Correct.
Here on the stream. Boy, are they missing some good stuff, huh? Because this is gold. What a shame. Maybe we'll have this conversation for the on-air audience, too, Steve. Right now, we're just at WGNradio.com. But I'll say this about the way they did opening day at Wrigley. Man, did they get lucky, right? Because of all the crappy weather we've had before and after, they had sunshine and warmth that came after people, you know, if they weren't even playing, just open up the park and sell beer, people would show up. We so needed a warm, sunny day. So you had that, and then you had a really good game. They've got all of these new venues around Wrigley Field these days to generate revenue, and people were fully taking advantage of all of it. They were fully enjoying all of it. Ronnie Wu was rocking around. It was just like, oh, baseball really is here. It was such a nice thing. There's a guy that was walking around Wrigley Field on opening day, dressed as Will Ferrell, dressed as Harry Carey. So he wasn't doing Harry Carey. He was doing the Will Ferrell Harry Carey. Hey, everybody! That one. He's got a blue blazer on, khaki slacks, sneakers. He's got a wig and the big glasses. You've seen Will Ferrell's Harry Carey. He was doing that version of it. And for no other reason than just to entertain people that happened upon him. It was very, very strange and funny. There were cars decked out like Cubs cars, painted blue convertibles, some of them three-wheeled vehicles, driving around the ballpark, and it was just sort of this menagerie of summer and warm weather and Cubby blue, and it was very, very nice. About a minute, says Elif. Okay.
So are they just delayed, or they didn't postpone it yet, right?
Yeah, do we know what's happening then? So they'll hand it back here, and Elif is talking to Bob. Julie over there. So there's Bob. I don't know if what the official word on the game is. What I heard earlier today was that they might go ahead and give it a go tonight, like at 6 o'clock or something.
Right now their Twitter page is saying it's delayed.
Delay.
But they're saying they'll provide more information on a start time when it's made available.
They're funny with the words, canceled, delayed, and postponed. Delayed makes it sound like they're still going to try and get it in this afternoon. You get that feeling?
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. They're pretty much just holding out hope that the rain is going to ease up, and that's why they're not really giving it time.
Yeah. 10 seconds, standby. So how bad is it raining out there? What is the, maybe we'll get a meteorologist on here, Elif, and ask some weather person about that. It's 122 WGN Radio and WGNRadio.com. This is John Williams. So welcome back to the broadcast side now as we welcome in WGN Radio listeners. We have been here on the stream as we always are at WGNRadio.com. While the White Sox were trying to get the game up and running, but that has been delayed for a while, as you've heard, so we'll keep you posted on what's happening. And so let's just keep the show rolling. It's 122. I'm looking at my producer, Elif, now. Do I have a break to take? That's a no? Fair enough. So it's raining enough that they're going to delay the game, and we'll pass along more information as we get it. Now, for our radio listeners, hey, Steve, don't you think it would have been a good idea if the Cubs had moved their game rather than playing it tonight to yesterday when it was sunny and warm?
I don't know why they don't do that. It was a beautiful day yesterday.
That's an inside joke for those of you that are listening to us now on the radio, because we've had a conversation like this on the stream while you were waiting for the game to start. And in it, I posited that it would have made more sense for the Cubs, at least. I know we're waiting for the White Sox to start. But wouldn't it have made more sense for the Cubs, while the Pirates are in town just watching movies yesterday, to take tonight's game and put it yesterday when it was sunny and warm? Lafka, you think that's a good idea, don't you? That would have made sense to you, wouldn't
it? Any time you can shift a baseball game to a beautiful day, you should do it. You should do it. Just isn't baseball without a beautiful day.
I think a lot of this, too, I don't know, the weather's ridiculous. You can't, figure it out. But it just seems to me as though this is the earliest start date you've ever had for MLB, right? The game started earlier this year so that they could budget some off time later in the year. Cool. So in order to get 162 regular season games in, unless you want to play in December, you've got to start a weekend earlier still. So that's what's happened. And it hasn't been in some ways as disastrous or difficult as it was last year, because we all remember what the first games were like in Chicago last year when it was literally snowing on the field. But the weather is just so temperamental these days. You could have 70 one day and then it raining and cold the next. I think the longer you can delay that, rather than starting seasons sooner, we should be starting seasons later, if at all possible.
Again, I think just cut down on how many games we play, but
that makes the most sense to me.
Everyone says money won't let you do it.
Or doubleheaders, which, I don't know, fans and teams and players. I mean, all of this has to be agreed upon by the players. The union has to agree to anything that I come up with, and the players don't like that idea. Let's just read some texts. 630, John, you are 100% correct. Steve is 100% wrong. The game should have been played yesterday. That's from 630. Well, thank you, 630. 847, didn't they?
By the way, it's not from all of 630. It's from one person in 630.
I think that's, it just says 630 here, Steve. So that may be a whole region. 847, didn't they move the Sox opening day a day later due to anticipated bad weather the day before? Uh-huh. They did that exactly. I mean, that's really what got me thinking along this train to begin with. The Sox, looking forward, said, hey, let's just pick the best day to drop it in.
That's because they had a bad day. They were living a bad day, so they postponed it. You want them to postpone a game because they happen to have a good day in their hip pocket. That's the difference.
Well, I don't know that I understand the distinction.
Well, okay, so the White Sox had a day that could built in to have a game the day later. So that's kind of the way it is. So the forecast looks bad. We're going to delay it. What you're saying was like, hey, the forecast looks good, so let's move up a scheduled game for later in the season and play it today.
Essentially, that's the same thing. I mean, either way, you've got a day in the bank. Let's maximize the purpose of that day, which is to use it as a buffer and play as much baseball under as good a conditions as possible.
What if you're a manager of the baseball team and you use your pitching staff in a certain way on Monday, knowing that you were going to have Tuesday off and could rest them and play again on Wednesday?
Wah, wah.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to bring up reasons why your lollipop and roses world doesn't exist. If you don't want to listen, that I can't do anything about it.
I'm not sure who's listening and who's not listening in this case. You promise me you see at least the sense of the wasted opportunity yesterday.
If it could work out, sure, that makes sense. If you could have everyone do it.
Well, you could.
I'm telling you, the teams would lose money. The strategy of the baseball teams would be affected, and I don't think it's worth the effort for the comfort of it.
You're going to have no shows, and you're going to have fewer beers sold at Wrigley tonight.
The beers, fewer beers sold are an issue. The no-sold shows aren't because they've already got their cash.
They've already got their money. Well, that's my point, right? I mean, so really, who are we looking out for?
I mean, you're going to go to Channel 9? Who has the game tonight?
I am not interested in your broadcast rights issues.
Well,
I'm saying
money.
If you are going to best accommodate 40,000 people who want to go to the game, should you go ahead and put as many of them you can on the night it's scheduled, which is crappy and cold and they're going to sit in the rain? Or should you say, I'll bet you 35,000 of them could figure it out and they'll still come, and let's give them the sunny day? Yeah, we'll have 5,000 upset fans. We'll honor their tickets later, blah, blah, blah. I don't know, really. As a corporate, as a decision by the company, I'm not so sure that you shouldn't accommodate the fans and move the game up if that were your only consideration. No?
I don't think you're necessarily accommodating the fans. You're taking people who could go to a night game, asking them to take a day off to go to a day game.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as easy as you think, honestly.
Well, I'll tell you what. As it turns out, people listen. So why don't you respond now? 312-981-7200. You can call or text. John Williams in the Allstate Skyline Studio A. This is where Ro and Anna normally broadcast from. And we come down when we're in between in and out of White Sox games. We expect we'll be joining them maybe in about a half an hour. You know, it all depends on the weather and nobody knows. We were talking off the air and on the air about the wisdom of the Cubs waiting till tonight, as is scheduled for their game. When we could have 2 feet of snow on the ground, when they had yesterday, which was, as you know, was 82 degrees and sunny. The Pirates came in town the day before, so the Pirates were surfing at the beach, watching movies, playing tiddlywinks, while we had this beautiful day that we were burning, and didn't play. And then they're going to wait until tonight, because that's what Mr. Schedule says. And, of course, we could never change a schedule since it was printed on paper or whatever.
Who gets to make that call? That's real interesting.
Who gets to make that call?
In other words,
I don't.
You have to ask if nothing else. You have to ask the Pirates. Pretty please, do you mind throwing a pitcher today you weren't planning on throwing because it's nice out?
Well, that's what Bertrand was wondering about. Messes.
Oh, it's a good point. Now that Phil brings it up,
I didn't say I agree. I said, as it turns out, Steve, who is also wrong, brought that point up as well.
I see.
I don't know. I think if I was a baseball manager and I'm getting paid $92 million, maybe I would kind of figure that out. I've got a schedule. I know about weather. I'm paid to manage these things. It's a manager.
But there's a whole league. There are rules. There are protocols. You can't. I mean,
that's why. Mm-hmm. If women ran the world,
see, here we go, Phil.
I think that women are a little more flexible about these. There's more common sense. They go, "What do you mean protocols?" Just
exactly.
It's sunny. Get your cleats on and go play the damn game.
Exactly. Just like my wife always says, just do what you're going to do. It's okay. Just do it your way.
Phil Vitale, the restaurant critic we bring in for all baseball discussions, is here to talk a little bit about the dining scene in Chicago. You can find him at chicagotribune.com/dining and in print. Phil, just a couple of quick calls to wrap up this conversation. Feel free to chime in.
As I often do.
I'm surprised you're not
in trouble. You're a little slow on that squelch button, I got to say.
This is Alan. Alan, jump in there. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, John. Listen, that common sense tells you you're messing with 35, 40,000 people that don't necessarily have the flexibility of just, oh, let's play the day before.
Yeah.
I mean, you're bringing in busloads from Iowa. This is the Cubs. And they have these things planned months in advance when they buy these tickets. And 35,000 people, it was just up to the player. Sure, they just say, okay, go ahead out there and play. But you can't do that to 40,000 people. And it doesn't make any sense to even logically say, oh, it's just nicer the day before. You have that day before off in case the opener was bad.
Right.
And
right.
Every team has that. And the Sox, you know, they were able to use that day off. It wasn't, you can't go in reverse. And Major League Baseball does have the call on this anyway.
I have been to one baseball game in my life. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I was going to a Boston Red Sox game. A terrible storm was coming in. It was a night game. We're in a cab driving around Boston touring. We're listening to the radio in the cab, and he says something like, oh, man, they're already down in the second inning. And we said, what are you talking about? The game's tonight. He says, no, they moved it up because the hurricane's coming up the coast.
Hmm.
And I don't actually, he used a Boston accent when he said that.
But. Did he say scrod?
To move it
did
up
he
a
say,
few
get,
hours?
Kind of work this word they scrod in there to give it that sense of authenticity.
Okay, but I mean, I do think that they you can do whatever you want is my point. And I
no, they actually can't. They can move it up a few hours. A change a day like that to go backwards, that's up to Major League Baseball.
Well, I don't know the Major
League. You have hotels involved, airlines involved. You have everything's involved.
Uber drivers.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, those are the guys like me who go to the games. You change the day, I don't care.
But
the rest of the world has scheduling.
I appreciate your call. I wish you hadn't joined us, though. Thank you, Alan.
Nice.
Go away.
So you're a victim of the very thing you're espousing here, and that you didn't think of that?
Didn't think of what?
That because they changed the game, you missed the game that you went out to see in Boston? Did you just say that?
I did say that.
I did say that.
I said I missed, we got there about the third or fourth inning.
Mm-hmm.
We told the cab driver we were going to like tour a museum. We said, okay, hey, quick, head over to Fenway Park or wherever the Red Sox play.
Yep.
But it's not about me, Steve. I was actually thinking that of the, you know, if you could score the enthusiasm for 40,000 fans, some of whom wouldn't be able to get it, they'd score a zero. Some of whom would and would have preferred it, they score 100. And some say, well, it's inconvenient, but I can do it. I just wonder what would be better for the customer base at large. Ask them to go to a rainy night game or ask them to change their plans a little bit and go to a sunny warm game. I'll bet there are plenty of Cub fans who would have said, yeah, I would have made that happen.
Yep.
I would have given the tickets to my buddy and he would have gone.
Would have been okay with me. I have tickets. I've got tickets for tonight.
You do?
I do.
You do, Phil, personally?
I do.
You're going to the game tonight?
No, probably not.
Okay, Steve, so
I don't think they're going to get the game in.
Steve, I just talked to a guy, and he's not even going to go tonight.
It's funny,
because
I was going to say, if you bought a ticket for a night game in April, this is what you were... Maybe you love this weather.
Well, I should couch it in these terms. I bought a ticket for every game.
You have season tickets.
Yeah. So we can call you when we need to...
You can try.
Yeah, I think I will.
It's up to whether I need the tickets or my son needs the tickets or my other son needs the tickets, but yeah.
Are you selling this ticket? What are you going to do? You're not going to eat it.
My son, Chris, is the commissioner in this particular thing. So if he can get a price for it, I bet he will. If he wants to tough it out tonight, I bet he will. But I don't know. But my guess is that we're going to put a little salt on it and eat it.
Wow. Wow. Well, you could give it to me and I could walk around going, I got two. I got two.
Or you could pound on the gate saying, this was supposed to be yesterday.
Yeah.
I want a refund.
I'm going to make my case.
What's the matter with you people?
One more quick call. Hey, Brian, you're on WGN Radio. Hi, Brian, you're on the air.
Hey, John, my friend on the internet. It's a good thing that Phil Patel's there today right now, too. How would you serve 30,000 people hot dogs and beer on a two-hour notice? Just ask him. You know, because the food, they don't get the delivery until the day before for the food, if I'm correct.
I think those hot dogs are good for several years.
Right.
I mean, they could have gotten some of those were delivered in the 70s.
He's got a point. Wrigley can't have much in the way of storage. They pretty much have to bring their stuff in.
They've used every square foot of space over there. All right. Well, that's a real good point, Brian. Never call here again.
And you get to have to tell the hot dog guy to show up 4 hours earlier.
John, it's not up to MLB. It's up to the Cubs. John, the caller is wrong. John, the season is too damn long. It's for 40,000 people. The listener just talked about what happens to them if the game's postponed. John, coming from a woman, what about how this affects all of the other teams and schedules?
Not to mention all the employees.
Yeah, Phil, someone just brushed up on something, too. Right, the White Sox were playing yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
They share vendors.
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah, a lot of vendors, right, work at ballparks.
I do recognize a couple of guys. Yes. Yeah,
right. The guys who are, well, but the that's working
you
know, the
all,
stands.
All you guys are seeing.
No, it's a very good point.
I'm talking to the committee. There's a thing called the committee of no.
Mm-hmm.
It is when you get a bunch of people in the room, the inclination, and I don't know why this is, but a group of people's general inclination is, why can't something happen? That's the committee mm-hmm. of no. If you get enough people with coffee and clipboards, they'll come up for a reason that the sun should not shine or even rise tomorrow.
Right. I got news for you. It's not shining right now.
And I'm just saying, why not have a committee of yes? Let's think about ways it can happen.
I think mm-hmm. Phil and I are on the committee of think straight.
Yep. Each committee, however, needs a wait-a-minute guy.
Thank you. That would be a start.
Yes.
If they would just say, okay, just listen to John for mm-hmm. a minute, then
let's
I would have...
Just wait a minute.
Let's just hold your horses,
Bucky.
It's
been 40 minutes now.
John's talked me into sillier stuff than this, so let's hear him out.
Do I have what there, Producer Elif? Do I have the text, Phil? No, I don't know that I do. So why don't you run those in as well? Lots and lots of texts about this. White Sox baseball, I'm going to tentatively say, coming your way in about 18 minutes here on WGN. Phil, welcome back. I know,
Thank you.
Just very quickly do a couple of things. One is, I know you talked to our Dean Richards, was it this past Sunday,
mm-hmm.
About Easter ideas.
Right.
And Brendan and I have been back and forth about should we make plans to eat out. Could you just give me some of the highlights or maybe some new spots that came to mind?
New spots that came to mind. There's a restaurant called Temporis. It is one of those fine dining, sit-down, 2.5-hour dining experiences. So, you know, and it costs, it's a $75 sit-down meal there. But it's in Westtown on Ashland Avenue, and they're having Easter brunch for the very first time. They've never had it before. Now, the place is only 3 years old, so okay, but still, for the first time, they're doing a three-course menu with rabbit brioche with mushroom sauce and good stuff like that, and it's a very, very good restaurant, and three courses, $75, not bad. And if that's too much for you on this short notice, they're going to do the exact same thing on Mother's Day.
Temporis.
T-E-M-P-E-R? O-R-I-S.
T-E-M-P-O-R-I-S. Mm-hmm. Temporis.
As in, you know, Latin for time and all that.
Ah, okay. Give me another one.
The Bristol is doing an a la carte menu with a kids menu alongside it. They're up on 2152. North Damon.
You almost have to do that. Families go out for Easter brunch, but there's no reason a kid is going to eat $75.
Yeah, exactly. Have your rabbit tureen, little boy. Tough sell.
They want scrambled eggs and
honey
bun.
Right, they don't want to hear about eating bunnies either. I mean, they're little. Carnivale is another fun one. You know, that's the real one out on, that's out 700 block of West Fulton Market. Very festive, very bright and colorful. They're going to have an Easter bunny. They're going to have other performers. They're going to have a buffet with the usual omelet stations and such, but they're also going to have a paella station, which is nice, and stuff for kids, too. And that'll cost grown-ups about $59, and it'll cost kids about $20.
Name of that place is?
Carnivale.
Carnivale, spelled carnival with an E at the end?
Exactly, the way they would spell it in Venice. And I got the prices wrong. It's $45 for grown-ups, $15 for kids. Let's get that straight.
That's
Phil.
Better. That's better.
I gave everybody a $5 discount. How about it?
Before you go any further on that, because
yep.
I'm just watching the clock with the game coming up, let's talk a little bit about Brass Heart.
Mm-hmm.
What's that all about?
Brass Heart is very exclusive because there are only 20 seats. New restaurant that opened up in Uptown. It's very exciting, sort of innovative food by Matt Kearney, who was most recently seen as the executive chef over at Longman and Eagle. He's one of these chefs that likes to take really ordinary ingredients and make them. Elevate them into something wow, like that. So he does for every menu, for instance, and it's in the 9-course menu is going to run about $145, and the 12-course is the big long thing. That's $145.
Wait, so I have two options here: the 9-course or the 12-course?
Right.
Okay.
And they also have vegan options within that too. You can do an all vegan menu, which is
Brass Heart, but you've already limited the audience to this. But fair enough. Let's just know what it is. It's a 9-course or a 12-course dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Tell
me. Take off your shoes.
And you had both.
Yeah.
What's the bill on 9 courses?
9-course goes anywhere from 105 to, I think, about 130.
Surprised it's not more. That does not include wine.
No.
All right. Fair enough. So what do you like on the 9 or the 12? What was it
well,
like?
Well, they're kind of the same. It's just the 12, you get a few extra dishes. So other than that, you're going to get the exact same thing. Every menu has something called rice and beans, which is his sort of little homage to the two staples of the world diet. And it's kind of so you're kind of reminded that this you're eating rice and beans, and maybe it's really elevated, but at the same time, you're like, this is what the world eats, and for a lot of the world, this is all they
all they're going to eat.
And so that's an interesting thing to contemplate in the middle of that. He also does a thing like ham and eggs. He'll take a poached quail egg and put it on a piece of toasted bread, actually a pain de mie because they're being fancy, and some breakfast sausage and a little maple vinegar gel. The idea is they put together, and then there's a ham consomme he pours all the way around it. So you're sort of getting all those familiar flavors of ham and egg and maple syrup, but you're getting them in completely different forms, and that's something that a lot of high-end chefs like to do, like to mess with your perceptions.
And this is a dinner I'm having, not a brunch.
Not a brunch.
But I'm having a ham and egg little side slider here.
Exactly.
tell them that would help. Just call it a ham and egg slider.
Right.
People understand
that. I'm on the phone with the marketing guy as soon as I'm out of here.
Yeah. You will be out of here.
Have I got an idea for you?
There's this guy who thinks that they should move baseball games up at the last minute, mm-hmm. and he's got a new name for your sandwich.
Right.
The ham and egg slider. Okay.
The game is the game is yesterday, not today. So today, go to Brass Heart because they've got ham and egg and a take on Cracker Jack that will blow your mind.
The beef course has become Kearney's culinary signature, you write?
Yeah, it's the only thing. He's had maybe 3-4 menus since he opened late last year, and that dish just does not change. So he's always putting a little bit, but now I've lost my place.
3 hefty cubes of Wagyu.
Oh, yeah, the Wagyu beef, yes. And a little parsnip puree underneath, and some caramelized mushrooms, but they almost come off looking like pieces of bone marrow when he's finished with them. And that's just a gorgeous little presentation. And and the little pomme souffle, which is this little potatoy thing. It looks almost like a round Cheeto, except it's not orange and it's not made out of artificial stuff. And you just bite into it and you get that potato flavor, but it's air. It's all air inside.
You write, a stripe of parsnip puree graces the plate. And the beef gets a last-minute spritz of mushroom-infused Chinese black vinegar, an effect not unlike A1 sauce, a touch Kearney said he finds hilarious.
Right. As a kid, he always loved A1 sauce, so he was trying to think, how do I add a little gourmet touch and sort of just stir that memory without overwhelming the beef? Just put one little spray on it. And
I love a good grilled steak. I love A1 sauce.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in the rare occasions where I'm at a good steak joint and I got a good steak in front of me, I still want a little A1.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so apologetic if I even bother to ask for that.
Right.
Do you have any advice for me on ordering A1 at a good steak joint?
I guess just throw it on out there and say, you know what would be great with this? A1 sauce.
But it's okay. Nobody's feelings get hurt.
Too bad.
Yeah. Good. You know what? Good answer.
You know?
I'm paying for it, and it's costing me $100.
Right. I've got this huge piece of meat here, and I'm going to eat. Sorry, tell you what, I'll eat 75% of it exactly the way you brought it to me.
Which is probably what I would do.
Right. I just want a little on the side. Do you have any special steak sauce or a little Worcester play? I mean, the chances that he has a bottle of A1 back there, pretty minimal, if they're not offering it in the first place.
Really, yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody's running down the street
exactly.
to the
headed
Jewel.
To the 7-Eleven like, get back here fast!
It's 151. Just one more note about this restaurant, and let's do what we've been doing lately. Phil's Fast Fry.
Right.
Call in, tell us an item at a restaurant that you especially like. We'll let Phil comment on them as well. John Williams here. You know, we were hoping 2 o'clock. Does not look like White Sox baseball resumes at 2, so you get even more of this. We're talking to Phil Vitale, who's the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. Read him in print. Read him at chicagotribune.com/dining. The brass heart, not brass rail, the brass heart that you've been talking about, the 9 and 12 course restaurant at 4600 North Broadway. 4600 North Broadway gets 3 stars from you, Tuesday to Saturday. You said they started at $105. It's conversation friendly, not too loud there.
So quiet. He plays. It's funny. He plays some rock and pop music in the background, yeah. But it's at such a volume that you and your companion will be kind of straining and trying to play name that tune. You're like, ooh, you know, the kind of place where all you can hear is the bass line, and then you can sort of guess the restaurant, the name of the song by the bass line. This is just. It's just
a little gentle.
This is just little gentle music, no heavy bass. It's
small enough that I guess the place couldn't get that loud, right? I mean, how many people did they see?
20.
That's amazing.
And they always stagger. So while they have room for 20 at once, I don't know if they ever.
You like the place? 3 stars.
Yes, it's very nice, and this guy can cook. I think he's gonna turn into somebody kind of important.
We got 2 minutes here. Elif, do we have the open to play to the exciting new Phil's, what is it, Flash Fry? That's what we're calling it. Hit it.
I'm going to feed around my vegetables. I'm going to chop down my vegetables. I love you most of all.
Okay, here's where you call, 312-981-7200. You can text, too, and this is the way we do it, Phil. With that as a bed, we said, tell us something you really love. What is it? Where is it? Hey, Lawrence, you're on WGN Radio. How are you?
Fine, thank you, sir.
What is it for you?
Probably the best steak in the city, if not in the country, is at Joe's Seafood. It's prepared properly, the bone-in filet. The staff takes copious care of every detail, and eating there is truly a wonderful experience.
That's Joe's downtown. You mean Joe's Stone Crab, that one?
Yeah, seafood, yes, Stone Crab, and prime steak. I'm blanking on which order it comes in.
What do you make of it?
I think he's kind of nailed it. It's hard to find a restaurant that does better service than Joe's. It's really good there. And one of the things that I love about Joe's, if you ever want carry out, particularly if you're in a mood for Stone Crab and you don't want to sit down and do the whole thing, just you can order it carry out. You can pull up to the valet and say, I'm picking up carry out, and they'll leave your car right there for free.
Oh, nice, nice.
So you run in, and the way they pack up the carry out orders, you're just like, this is beautiful.
No kidding.
I just want a table and eat it right now. This is presentation. This is gorgeous. So I mean, steak, we can argue steak like we can argue religious faith. So I'll stay away from that, but they do a very, very good job there.
708 texts in, turtle soup at Binion's. Since they're now closed, where could I find a good place for turtle soup? But they loved the turtle soup at Binion's.
That was the signature at Binion's. I don't know if the steakhouse named for Jack Binion has turtle soup in which of the casinos in northern Indiana has the Jack Binion Steakhouse.
Right.
Kind of run together in my mind. I'm sorry. But maybe. But turtle soup is not one of those things that are in vogue. You know, you get it at Binion's. You used to be able to get it at the Drake Hotel. But that restaurant's gone too. So, nope.
We are just about out of. Well, we are out of time. We've been kind of moving things around today for White Sox baseball. Read Phil Vitale. We'll do more of this and make a little more time for it when we have more time next Wednesday. I hope you can come by then.
Sure.
Read them online. Read them in the Tribune, chicagotribune.com/dining. That's Phil Vitale. Thank you, Phil.
My pleasure.
Lori Loughlin's story. It says Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman's alleged involvement at the college admissions scandal earned their daughter sympathy from actor Harry Hamlin. It's a real shame, mainly for the kids. You know, I just feel very badly for the kids because they're going to suffer the most in this situation. And I'm sure they didn't need to do it, Hamlin, 67, told Us Weekly in an interview released Tuesday. You know what jumps out to me on that? Hamlin, 67. Harry Hamlin is now 67. Hokey smokes. It's like he gets older every year. I mean, these kids are not dumb. They're smart kids. And for some reason, they must have just... They were somehow attracted to the idea that they could have something on their resume that they probably couldn't have gotten without having to go through these hoops, you know? So it's just a shame all the way around. And it probably will change a lot of things about how admissions are done now, he added. I'm not exactly sure what that was all about. You either get in or you don't, based on your own merit, Harry. And they weren't coming up with $500,000 because they thought they could get in anyway. If the kids... there's a lot of things that need to happen as a result. Like, everybody needs to pay more attention to this. I don't know what Northwestern and the University of Chicago and anybody else that's susceptible to this sort of thing are going to do as a result. But I think they do need to put more things in check, right? Because I'll bet this isn't the only instance of this happening. But I think that all of the kids that got in under false circumstances should be taken out. I mean, just because it's been revealed. Maybe you give them a chance to reapply, and maybe you could sort of rubber stamp that. But I think you would have to ask all of those kids, if they were in under false pretenses, to step aside and reapply, maybe for the next semester or next academic year. Don't know if that's going to happen. I have not heard that anybody's doing that. Okay. It's a 221 on WGN. Just a couple of texts that I wanted to get to or through as well. We started today talking a little bit about the White Sox baseball game delayed. It's 222 now, and at 234, we go back to the ballpark here on WGN Radio, and we're looking for the first pitch. Andy Mazur says now at 245. I was talking about earlier the sort of quandary the Cubs were in today, too, in that having sat on a beautiful day for baseball yesterday, they didn't play because they were scheduled to have a day off. They have that buffer game after a home opener. Okay, fine. Then they're going to wait until tonight when it could be snowy, rainy, windy, cold. It's not going to be a very good night for baseball. Why not move the game up a day early, I said. And then we had a rousing conversation about the pros and cons of that. 312 texted in and said, Steve's on fire today. What a man. So that was somebody who agreed with Steve Bertrand that you just can't move the game up. I was suggesting that they should try. Tom from South Elgin said, and this is why hockey is great. The weather's never a factor. 630, the Sox and Cubs both played Monday, so the vendor point is not valid. Some of you said, well, but then they got to get more food in, and if they move the game up a day, where are you going to get all the hot dogs and popcorn you need? But if they had enough for Monday, it's not like they're not ready for a homestand. I'll bet they do have enough food in the joint.
Well, I was talking about the actual people selling the food, but that's a good point. If they both played at the same time on Monday, they could certainly do it on Wednesday.
The Cubs or Tuesday.
Or Tuesday.
The Cubs could have seen us seen as early as this past weekend that today was going to be bad weather. They could have done this rescheduling a long time ago, says 630. 815, as we were having that conversation, texted in and said, it's snowing like crazy in Woodstock. 217 said, Steve, I can't thank you enough for being the common sense and brains of WGN Radio. I mean that, and I'm not joking. That's from 217. 708, when you get tickets to a Cubs game in April, you know what you're risking, this chance of the weather being like this. 815 says, you buy your tickets this time of year knowing full well what the weather can do. Someone from 619 texted in and said, all the 619 agrees with John. Everybody in 619 agrees with John, this one says.
Can you tell me exactly where 619 is?
Dot, 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 but the 619 is San Diego. We have no bad days out here. 773, a Major League Baseball team has no problem canceling a game. Oh, we are sorry. But to move the game up would take an act of Congress, and many people who have tickets for Wednesday might not be able to come when you move it up to Tuesday. P.S. Bertrand is never wrong. Signed, Trish.
Well, hi, Trish.
Presumably you know Trish.
I don't think so.
815, you buy your tickets knowing what you're going to get. One more. 773 said, when you, says 331 said, rain and freezing rain in Stickney, Cicero. It's not a beautiful day for a ball game.
I don't even buy tickets in advance for May. My rule always has been sort of June.
Well, they have those packets, you know, where they're so tempting. It's like, look, we can get 10 games. Opening day. And then they'll throw in one game that you really want to see. All the major league teams do this, at least those that play outdoors. And then it's that early season package. And you just go, I want to go to some games, and boy, that's a good price, but I don't know that I want to. I have never bought that because it's just...
And October 2nd.
Yeah, exactly. And then maybe, which could be a good game, but yeah, if it's, it could be really terrible.
Remember
too.
When they used to have Fan Appreciation Weekend the last week, the last series of the year at the Cubs at Wrigley Field?
Well, they give away a lot of prizes.
Yeah,
that day.
Because people didn't go. I mean, this was back in the 80s. You'd, you know, go get a clock radio or something, just bribing people to go to those games.
I remember that as the last game of the year.
Maybe it was just the last one. I thought it was the last three, but...
They were handing out toasters and microwave ovens. Right. People walking in and out.
Here's a maid.
I'll tell you what, though. I'll say this for the White Sox. We learned this on your opening day broadcast, and that is the premiums that they're giving out. The bobbleheads, Tuesday or Thursday?
It's Dollar Hot Dog Day today.
So today is Tuesday. Maybe it's Wednesday. Thursdays. Where today's Wednesday. Tuesdays or Thursdays, they do the T-shirt. They always have a garment of clothing that they give away one day a week as a pretty swell premium.
I'm 80% sure that's Thursdays.
I think it's Thursday, yeah. You were sitting right there, but it was so loud, I won't hold you to that, Lauren. It was kind of loud at... Cork and Carry. WGNRadio.com. John Williams, thank you for listening to us on the stream. If you want to hear White Sox baseball, the White Sox baseball pregame of sorts is on WGN Radio right now. And they're looking for a first pitch around 2:45 this afternoon. I follow Brian Tellerico on Twitter. He of the Roger Ebert website. And he posted something that wasn't, I don't think, originally his idea, but he went ahead and played along on using hashtag film Twitter. People are posting the 7 movie marathon you will watch if the movies all have to be part of franchises and no two films can be from the same franchise. So you can't be Gremlins 1, Gremlins 2, Gremlins 3. But you could be one of the Gremlins because that's part of a franchise. Batman movies, Star Wars movies, neither of which would make my list. Toy Story would make my list. I would definitely have one of the Toy Story films in there. You know, the one that didn't pop up that I thought is like a gaping hole. I don't know if people just aren't thinking about it as they do this. I don't know if you follow Tellerico or if you've seen that sort of flitting about the internet right now. But what are your 7 picks? There are 2 rules. The films must be franchise films. And number 2, all 7 films must be from different franchises. I would put The Godfather in there. I mean, how's that not your first movie? That's one of the greatest movies of all time.
I think that's the only one I've put in there.
Oh, you'd put Toy Story in there.
Toy Story, I guess.
Any of the Toy Story
movies. One, I would say.
Alien, you would definitely put in there.
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, the Alien franchise is solid.
Yeah.
No?
No, I mean, it's not in my cup of tea, but...
Well, yeah, that's right. If we were on an island, we'd have to share, so I'd put that on there. You wouldn't.
Field of Dreams 1.
The Mighty Ducks, D2.
You're going to go with all sports films there, Lapka?
No. Harry Potter. I like Harry Potter.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. That's you could do one of the... none of the Harry Potter movies. I never read the books, and I...
What?
Didn't read them. If I've seen the movies, I sure don't remember it. It was because I was with somebody who wanted to see it. I wouldn't walk into a Harry Potter movie. What's another good franchise?
Did you say Rocky?
You know, I didn't.
I think Rocky 1.
Have you gone back and watched Rocky 1 anytime lately? Like, when's the last time you saw Rocky?
I would like Jaws. Is that the rule? It has to stand up now.
Well, all I'll say is you're going to be on that island and you're going to go, oh, man, was that a shouldn't have asked for Rocky because it's not as fun or funny or awesome as you remember it being. You remember when Rocky came out? Wasn't that like the best movie?
Yep.
It was just this little guy punching his way back into the ring, and he loses. But
we're all jogging up and down the steps of our stoop.
I know. Da-da-da. It was just awesome. I went back and watched it and went, wow, does this not hold up?
So you're saying that for Jaws, too?
I mean,
Jaws?
I haven't seen Jaws lately, but I did see... I watched much of Rocky in the last year and came away with that feeling. And that happens sometimes. There's a movie in your heart you know and you love, and then you go back and see it, and you go, yeah, not so much anymore.
Close Encounters?
Is that part of a franchise?
I think there was a... Was there
Close Encounters? Closer?
I think there
closer
was a second
Encounters?
One.
Jurassic Park.
Another example of a movie, when you go back and watch that, the original, Wow, is the acting bad in that? Wow, is the writing bad in that?
But the dinosaurs are cool.
The dinosaurs killed. That was one of the first movies I recall where they got the CG or whatever they're using, the anatomics, whatever they're doing to make it look like there's really a dinosaur trying to get her. That just felt so close. It felt so dangerous. It felt so real. What's yours, Elif? Do I have you potted up? Hold on, Elif. You're on.
The Addams Family. Do you remember there was the Addams Family Values, the Addams Family Reunion, and those are the only two I remember, but I used to be obsessed.
That was a go-to for you? You really liked that?
Yeah, like when I was really young, I idolized Wednesday Addams for some reason. Isn't that weird?
In my New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle, one of the clues this week was, and by the way, this was in your New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle, too. One of the clues was a member of the Addams Family, three letters. So I was going through Gomez, Morticia, Thing.
It's either Cousin It or the other one. And the other one.
Lurch? Well,
no.
Lurch was not a member of the family. It is the correct answer.
But it has two letters.
ITT was technically how they...
Oh, my God. Are you serious? I was right?
If you look at the credits, ITT, if you do IMDb it, ITT is how, for fun of it, they spelled it in the Addams Family.
That's hilarious.
So there you go.
I feel so good now. That might have just made my day that I got something right on a crossword puzzle.
Well, that was a tricky one because I thought IT. But they always do that on these crossword puzzles. You think you know how to spell Aaron or Bob, and it's B-O-B-B. It's, you know, somebody has weird spelling. They're always doing that to you. Okay, so that's it. The seven movies. Yeah, feel free to jot them down. Text them in. 312-981-7200. There's an article in the New York Times this week, and it is about what you tip the hotel staff when you leave the hotel. Or for that matter, if you're going to stay there two nights, what you leave every morning. A quote, "Sometimes we get $2 or $3 in a room, and we get very happy," Blanca Guerrero said. "It makes us feel like someone appreciated us, but sometimes several days will pass without a tip." Do you guys tip when you stay at a hotel? How often and how much? What's the obligation there?
I hadn't until we went to Mexico for the work week, and then I learned that time and then did it again when I went to my cousin's wedding.
Socks on the Beach, when we were down there Christmas time.
Yeah.
Stayed at that lovely resort. You did tip. Did you tip every day?
I forgot one or two times.
Fair enough. But, I mean, you started to get in the habit then.
Yeah.
Do you stay? And have you had a history of staying in hotels? Did you travel much? But you'd never thought to do that before?
Well, I guess I always stayed with my parents and I didn't pay attention. So now that I'm
thinking about it, this is one of the few instances where you are actually on the dime for that.
Yes.
And we usually have, boy, Brenda's very specific about that. Like, we do not walk out of the room for the day that we don't. And if we don't, you know, the thing, we feel terrible about it, or sometimes, here's the worst thing. You say, okay, I know I'm going to tip. All I have is a 20. The cash machines give 20s. So there you are with a 20. And you really don't want to leave 20 bucks, but you don't want to leave nothing. Well, then you got to run around and find change, or just feel terrible about it, or leave, or either way, because you're either leaving way too much or nothing at all. And it's not always the same person that cleans the room every day. So if you say, well, I'll get you $10 tomorrow, I was going to leave $5 each day, maybe that one person doesn't get the extra $5. I wonder what your habit is about that. We usually leave a note, too, saying, you know, thank you or something like that, so that they know this wasn't cash we left laying around. They're usually pretty savvy about that. If you leave a couple of dollar bills under a glass, they know that's for them.
I feel like a jerk. I've never done that unless they help me with my bags or something.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, I hate to, like, you're already paying a lot to park. You're already paying a lot to stay in the hotel. And then there are so many people that will help you, right? There's the bellman that will take your bags. And then there's the guy that checked you in when you said, I have reservations. They're behind the desk. And then there's the lady that cleans. The point is, there's an endless opportunity to give $2, $3, $5, $2, whatever. And at some point you say, wait, I'm only paying $200 for the room and $50 for my car to sleep here tonight. So do I have to keep dropping $2 and $3 and $4 bills on everybody? If you valet where the car is sitting for $55, the guy comes up and gives you your car, do you need to give him a couple of bucks? I think he's counting on it a little more than you are.
Valet makes sense to me. Somebody helping with the bags makes sense to me. The rest doesn't really make any sense to me.
Okay, but I mean, if you thought about how much effort those people put in.
But can't you make that argument for everyone doing their job?
Prioritize them, though. Who works harder for you, the valet, the person that walked your bags up and sort of opened them up for you, or the lady that cleans your room? I'm not shaming you or guilting you.
I mean, that's hard to say, right? I mean, if there's a pre-planned parking spot for valet, that's not too difficult. If the person moving the bags, it's one light bag and it's easy to move, or they have a cart, that's not too difficult. You know, you can argue one or the other depending on the situation.
Yeah, but the lady that cleans the room, she's always cleaning the room, right? She's always making your bed.
And some of those rooms, ugh.
I know, that's the thing, too.
Yeah.
We usually leave our room in pretty fine shape, you know, and we turn the lights out. We try to be good customers. But when you're walking down the hall, every now and then there's a door open and you see it in there and it looks like something exploded. You know, like a pizza delivery man walked in and he literally exploded. And it was just like pizza and cups and beer cans and clothes
I've
all
over. I've
seen
vomit on a wall at a hotel.
God.
Gross.
And I'm like,
are you
know,
serious?
Even if you can get away with that, like you go, hey, but we're in a hotel. We've already paid, so we can live like, I still don't want to be in a room with slobs, even if I'm one of them. Just because you can do that, are you enjoying your hotel room experience by not picking your socks up off the floor? I don't understand that.
I think you know that I don't like to leave crumbs on the floor because I've vacuumed a few times in our office. And I felt bad just leaving crumbs from a granola bar on the counter, but I don't have any choice. I don't have, I guess I could wipe it off with a napkin, but.
But you don't have your cleaning utensils there.
Right, but I don't have the, like, I would love to have a dustbuster in the hotel room. Why don't we do that?
So they would have maybe just a little, like where the ironing board and the iron is, little cleaning station for those of you that are fastidious like you. And you'd be able to wipe things down as you go.
Yeah.
You would like that.
Plus, my biggest fear is attracting bugs with that kind of thing.
It most certainly is, because you've been attacked by some of them and ravaged.
Mm-hmm.
So other people would interpret that as, oh, great, now they want us to clean the rooms ourselves. But some of you might like it just as almost a courtesy to you, so that you can keep it as clean by the hour as you like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty amazed at what a good job they do and how quickly they do it, to be honest with you. I mean, the bed's always made really nice. I've heard this because there have been books written by people who are in the hotel business. And they talk about how they drive your car and what they do to get the room ready. And they said, for instance, I'm trying to think now if this is how they clean a dirty glass or if they just do this to the glasses in the bathroom anyway. But one of the tricks that the staff does is they'll just spray the glassware with a little of that lemon pledge and then wipe it. So it comes up clean. They don't have to change out the glassware. And everything has a nice scent. But they're not washing that glass. Sometimes they just give it a good wipe with a little of the lemon spray. You may not be happy to hear that, but now when we have a glass, like the other day, we checked into a hotel and we had a bottle of wine, and I went to pour it on the glass, and Brenda's like, you know, I'm not so sure I'm crazy about you pouring it in that glass. So, you know, we just chugged it from the bottle. I'm trying to remember how we consumed that wine, but Brenda would not want it going in the coffee mug or the glass or whatever it was I was going to pour it into. This has just been handed to me. Thank you, Producer Olive. John, I appreciate the maids the most. $5 a night. Clean that bathroom? Yuck. Yeah. Yeah. John, it gets confusing when picking up pizza, too. There's a space on the receipt or touchscreen for a tip. Oh, if you go to the place and pick up pizza, like you've ordered and then you go get it for carryout? Yeah, when I order carryout, do you tip, Lauren, on carryout food as well?
No, I don't.
I feel real... I'm such a sucker. but if I go pick up $40 worth of pizza and they hand it to me, I've driven over...
Yeah, you made the effort.
I did all the work. Mm-hmm. I did all the work. I will still write in a dollar or two just because I'm so trained to tip staff, you know, to tip people. Dan wanted to say something. You're on WGN Radio. Dan, what's on your mind? Hi.
My comment is, having just been in a couple hotel rooms, I leave $5 every morning except the day we leave on the theory that, you know, I don't know where, you know, does she use the towel you wipe your face on to clean the toilet seat or wipe up the floor? You want to make sure you have a good stay.
Okay, so...
So you buy some insurance.
Oh, I see. So doing that, she's going to be nicer to you. But that last day...
My theory, I'm not there.
You're not there, so whatever she's doing to the towel is not your problem now.
It's not my problem. But along the way, I'd like to think, you know, I'm getting a little bit back for it.
$5.
Yeah, close enough, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Dan, interesting theory. Thank you for the call.
Okay.
That's
Someone texted in from 312. What do you think you should tip a cleaning lady in a place that you're staying for in an all-inclusive for a week?
Well, that's where we were, in Mexico. Yeah. And I was leaving $5 a day, as I recall. I wonder how that you're staying in a hotel for a night, all-inclusive or otherwise. They're still making the bed. They're still cleaning out the bathroom.
Yeah. I don't know why that they asked.
Yeah, I don't understand that distinction, except maybe you shouldn't be tipping as much because you're in there for a week. I don't know. $35, say, for a week's worth of somebody cleaning your toilet, I think is money well spent. 262, I think at some point, John, tipping is getting to be too much. Does everyone get a tip for doing their job? No. A, everybody does get a tip for doing their job. And that job, yeah, I think they should get a tip. Hello, I'm by far not wealthy, but I feel good when tipping at least 20% for good service. I try to avoid valet parking at a hotel. If we ate a bit over a few days, then I will leave $10. I think they maybe if we stay a few days, then they leave $10. 847, I had never heard of tipping maids until the last few years. Why is the public now responsible for paying everyone's wages? Also, like you, John, we always leave our room clean and picked up. Yeah, we try and do a good job about that, but we're not cleaning the toilet. We're not making the bed. I guess everybody gets to decide. But if you're into quote-unquote rules of thumb, I think you're supposed to leave a few bucks every day for the maid staff. It's a 250. 312-981-7200. Just a couple more minutes here. Ro and Anna will stroll in and get ready for entertainment and fun and information for you at WGNradio.com. White Sox are on the radio right now at WGN Radio. That game got a late start because of the rain. Just one quick note about that. We debated earlier in the show. In fact, pretty much all I've done today is argue with people about whether or not the Cubs should have moved their game up a day and played yesterday when it was sunny in 60s, and instead of waiting until tonight when it's going to be cold, rainy, windy, whatever. It's not. It's like they had that. The Pirates are in town, just sitting there all day yesterday when they could have played. And nobody brought this up. 708. Not that it would have helped today, but why are they scheduling night games in Chicago in April anyway? Right. If you're going to bank on the weather in Chicago and try and make sense out of it, it sort of backfired on the White Sox. But at least a day game not only gives you more time if you have to delay the game, but it's not going to be as cold. The Cubs, really, they've got a couple of night games in a row. Who thought that an April night game would be a good idea? Just wondering, says 708, and I couldn't agree with you more. Adam, jump in here. You're on WGN Radio. What did you want to say?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good.
Good. Yeah, I do a lot of traveling, and, you know, if I'm going to be at a hotel for 2 or 3 days, I usually just put the Do Not Disturb sign out, leave it on there the whole time, and, you know, there's usually 2 or 3 towels there, and whatever I need for the 2 or 3 days, and then maybe I'll leave a couple bucks at the end rather than having to leave $2, $3, $4, $5 every day.
I guess that's a calculation you get to make, right? If you don't want to pay $3 a day and you think you should for every day the maid comes in, you'd rather save the $3 than have somebody make up your bed and clean up your room.
Yeah, because I keep it clean anyways, and they have so many towels in there.
Yeah, they do.
I usually have my own stuff with me anyways, so, you know.
Do you
save a few bucks here and there?
Do you make your bed every morning before you leave?
I just throw the covers over it, but I don't actually tuck it in because I can't stand that trying to untuck and it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, it's work. It's work. No. And do you fold the towels after you use them into little swans and leave them out for yourself then?
As a matter of fact, I do. No,
yeah. All right. I got to go. Thanks for the call, Adam.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good day. I wonder what Anna DeBlantis' perspective on that is.
I do like when someone cleans the room because I'm not good at doing it.
I'm on vacation. I'm in a hotel, even if it's a business trip. I'm not at home. I'm on the road.
Yeah.
I am not making the bed, Jack.
Doesn't it feel good to come home to a house or a room?
Yes.
That's just clean and everything's where it should be.
In fact, I would pay someone $2 a day to come to my house.
Yes.
Like I make the bed.
No problem.
94 days out of 100. Brenda makes the bed anyway, but I'll bet somebody would say, if there was a service where, like, they just knocked on the door, so we're just going to whisk through your bathroom and make your bed, $3.
That's it.
You would pay for that. They'd be in and out in 10 minutes.
Oh, totally be doing that.
I'll stand in the kitchen, have a cup of coffee. You clean out the bathroom, and you make my bed. I will give you $3. And then you got to go. This is not a cleaning lady for $100. This is a $3 a day service.
I think that's a great business you just came up with.
Well,
but so then that's on top of your Netflix, your Hulu, your HBO subscription.
No, right.
That's $40 a month.
Next thing you know. Right. Well, okay, I'm not going to do it every day. Here's what they do. They're like the knife sharpeners used to do. In some neighborhoods, I think this still happens. There's a guy, and he comes to the block. And everybody knows the knife man is coming, and he'll sharpen your knives right there on the spot, and he moves his vehicle up and around. It's like when the guy delivers wood in some neighborhoods in the fall, and you hear, the wood man's here, let's go get some wood. You could say the cleaning ladies are here. I guess my point is I'm trying to imagine a way where you would not have to commit to 30 days a month of the service.
But or like a full house cleaning you wouldn't need to get, just the bed part.
Yeah. And I want it today, but not tomorrow. Well, that's okay. Just no, thank you. Go to the Johnsons. They're the next one. Then go to Smith. They're the next one. Got a million of good ideas. I'm the Lou Manfredini today. I've got a million good ideas. Let me pause. Anna, you and Ro, tell us what's coming up in a minute on WG. Ro and I are discussing where we're divvying up potential guests for...
That's good. Get on the same page.
Were you going to do that today, or were you going to do that tomorrow?
You know what? Now that I think about it, I mean, I think it's better if you do it because, and I like this is good for everybody on the CLTV. They'll really enjoy this as well. I think this is because you'll get on the radio with him tomorrow.
This is the story of the guy that went out on the lake to rescue the dog that fell through the ice and then the cop that went to rescue the guy.
Great story.
It is a great story.
And so Elif and I were talking about this. So what's the better get? The cop who goes, oh, crap, really? I got to go do this. And we're not exactly trained to do this. Some of them are, but we're going to rescue. We're going to put ourselves on the line. Or is the better angle, your dog has just crashed through the ice. You know if you go to save your dog, you may die. This guy would have died if the cops hadn't come and got him.
Right.
He saves the dog. You can throw your dog out. Now you can't get back out. What do you do in that situation? Because you got a wife and kids. Say, my wife would be very mad at me if I died saving the dog, and she loves our dog.
Yeah.
What if you came home without the dog? Would she have said you should have jumped in?
Yes, absolutely.
See, it depends on the state of the marriage. I've been in both states.
Good test. It really is.
Yeah, I know.
Actually,
how
my wife
goes.
Pushed me in. She said, you go get the dog.
Yeah, no. I think you should interview both because I think it's amazing. I think the police story is an amazing story because again, you know, they're there and they don't think twice about that. That's just what they have to go do.
Well, but
because they can't let a guy just drown. That's not their job.
But they do have the scuba gear, the insulated stuff.
Sure.
Maybe they didn't have time to get all
they
of that.
They have the dry suit. But
yeah,
right.
Those units have them, but patrol units don't have that.
Yeah. So they've just got to mosey out and throw a rock. I don't know how they rescued him.
They went in a chain. Yeah, as a patrol unit, and they went in, each holding on to a bunch of cars responded, units responded, and there was enough guys that they literally held hands And they create a human chain to go out and get this guy.
Wow. Amazing.
Okay, so you got to think about that when you go to rescue your dog. If this goes bad for me, a whole bunch of people may fall in trying to save me.
Right. And that's what they did.
Wow.
And that, I mean, they didn't fall. They got him out. Which is, you know, and it's one of those situations where the police were there in a minute. They were there in 90 seconds to rescue this guy.
I think every day we hear a story about police abuse. There's 95 stories we don't hear about police doing amazing things.
Right. 9,500 stories. You know how many police calls there are in a day?
No.
Calls for service?
About more than seven.
A number higher than seven.
That was, am I right? That was very Price of Right. Price is Right of you. Right. One. There's one guy. All right. We're not going over. All right. Thank you very much.
Have a good show. I know you will.